Hello, everyone, and welcome back once again to the Great Scott Podcast. Today, I am joined by musician and music producer, Mr. Kevin Flournoy. How's it going, Kevin?
I'm doing real good. Happy to be here. Glad you invited me out.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. First off, I want to say Gina wanted me to tell you hello.
All right. Yeah. That's my buddy there, the incredible singer,
Yeah,
incredible artist.
we talked yesterday, and he talked about how you guys have worked on numerous things together
Oh,
through.
yes. Yeah, live and in the studio over a few years now.
And he said he's ready for the next project for you guys to work on.
Yes, always looking forward to what's coming up next. It's always exciting, to get into something new.
And he said that you also had returned from Africa.
Yeah, about a couple of days ago, Ghana. And so it looks like I'm starting to go twice a year. The last show Gino made an appearance on, I call it the K-Flow show. And it's just me presenting my music as a producer and a writer and arranger. And it's basically the setting is we're in a living room sitting around talking about music and people's careers, and we break into the song, here and there. So Gino was a special guest, and it was my first time doing that show internationally, and it was in Ghana, so it went over real well.
Wow, there's a lot of stuff that's now going over to Africa, filming wise. I know that Steve Harvey brought over the Family Feud.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it's booming. Yeah, it started like back in, I went over there for the first time in 2008, after the, around the Olympic time, the games, and they started expanding. And even the jazz scene, the when I was over there, it's called the Ghana Jazz Foundation, was this first year. It was first concert, 4 days of jazz. Everything's expanding there, and it's pretty exciting.
So what is it about Africa that's making everything flock over to there? Is that just a great place for filming or?
Yeah, it's part of that. I think when I'm there, it's very, they're very welcoming
Yeah.
to us coming over there. So even in terms of their process for visas and stuff, and it's like the last couple of months, it's very easy to come. They're making it easy. They want you over there. They want the exchange of cultures, the exchange of music. They're really interested in that. And so this is a good time.
And so, starting out your career, or you rather getting into music, it was at a very young age, like 7 years old, is when you really, I guess, got introduced to music as a thing.
Yeah, I had my father was in the Marine Corps. He played trombone. He took us to a music store, and I say us is my I have there was three of us, brothers and sisters, and he said, pick out an instrument, and I picked out the guitar, and then he made us rehearse and practice in like an hour a day. So it
Ooh.
was very rigorous, and so that's where I started.
So, were you in the military as well, or did he encourage you to go into the
No,
military?
I wasn't. I just grew up in, basically moving to all the military bases in the US everywhere. And so yeah, that as a young person, I was going went to several different schools very young.
Yeah,
And
that's what I was going to ask you. Yeah.
end up settling in San Diego. And so that's where he bought his home. So I grew up in San Diego.
So how many schools did you go through when you were younger?
Before I think San Diego was third grade. Before then, I had been to seven different schools.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So
Everything from Hawaii to Virginia, all the bases, Barstow, Hawaii, Virginia, everywhere.
wow. Now, you're probably maybe a little too young, but did you like moving around so much, or would you have rather stayed in like one place or?
Me, I was kind of like the quiet kid. So I every time you move, you had to be introduced. I just remember being introduced, class, this is the new student. I didn't like that part.
Yeah. No, right. So, Kevin, I think you're celebrating now 30 years of being in the music industry, and congratulations on that. And I have a newfound respect now for musicians who make it, just seeing how hard it is to make it in the music business.
Definitely, definitely. It's a journey, and I tell some of the young ones, set yourself up when you first start so you can be here like 30 years later. And there's different things that you need to do and learn and listen so you can be around longevity, have that longevity in your career.
What are for those young people that are wanting to get into music, what are music producers looking for these days, would you say?
Yeah, and one thing I think it's okay to be focused on a form of music, but so you can have different revenue streams in the future, and you don't have to do just one of these things, but like I learned how to read music early on, and that opened up all kind of revenue streams later because I can orchestrate, write for strings, write for piano, write for anything. Learn how to master at least one instrument. I know it's not necessary today. You can get a drum machine and pull samples down, but that's focused on a particular revenue stream. When the music styles change, if you know how to read and write and play, you can always do that live. And so that happens early on also. And just to focus on writing, just all the different things that you do, writing, arranging, just learning the craft. Learn everything you can learn when you're young and spend time on it. Put in that 10,000 hours when you're young, because it gets a little difficult when you get older.
Do they not want you as much when you get older?
What's
Do they not
that?
want you as much when you get older?
Well, it's just as you get older, you have more responsibilities, and the time is hard to
Oh,
take out
true.
time to
True, for sure.
focus on it. Like if you want to rehearse piano, I mean, back in the day when I was in college, I used to play, and we used to play like 10 hours or 8 hours and stuff. I couldn't do that now. We can just sit there and play all day, and that's not possible right now. I got many things to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've been more behind the scenes kind of guy working with different artists, but you just created an album here not too long ago yourself.
Yes. So I'm stepping out in front, and basically my music now is a culmination of everything that I've done in the past, which means that I'm inviting artists and vocalists to come out and sing with me. Like the latest thing I just released a couple of weeks ago, Ronnie Laws is playing sax on it, which is one of the first gigs I had when I first came to LA, when I was playing keyboards. And now he's playing on my latest song. And also Phil Perry's on the song I released last year, Tell Me If You Still Care. And he's another one that I used to play with out of when I got out of college and moved to Los Angeles. And so it's just I'm flipping it around, and some of these artists I'm reaching out to help me present myself.
And going back to Gino for just one second, I love the message that you guys are doing because he created a song, kind of like a We Are the World type of thing about love and
Yes.
unity in this world, which we need definitely need more of, because he says this is a very chaotic world, and I tend to agree with him.
Yes. Yeah. It's right here. What Gino was doing aligned with everything that I'm doing, because as a songwriter, I tend to go toward the more inspirational lyric. I know there's all kind of music out there now, but the uplifting lyric, the uplifting type of arrangements that you can feel. And in the 80s and 90s, there was a lot of that going on, not so much as much now. And so like Gino's song, exactly that, but it aligns with the way I like to produce and what I
Absolutely.
like to write.
So, would you say that, no, well, going back to how hard the music business is, would you say that there's a moment in time in your life where you would say, okay, I finally made it in the business I've wanted to work in for so long?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I don't know. There was time periods where I finally made it to at certain levels. So it took me about five when I moved to LA for 5 years. It's not looking good because nobody knows you, and you got to basically plant the seeds. And as your name gets out there, I remember 5 or 6, 7 years into it, I finally got to a point where, okay, now they're calling me. That was a turning point, where they're looking for me. And then I got to the point where I'm playing with three or four or five, touring with five different people at the same time. They're calling. So the keyboard part was working. So yeah, okay, so I made it there. The next thing is that my number one thing that I want to do was production and songwriting. That's what I came to LA to do. I ended up playing keyboards because the singers liked the way I played. So they would invite me to come on tour with them, and I'd, tour the world, and I said, yeah, I'll go, I'll go. So I did that for a while, and that started catching on. And the production thing was here and there. The production thing, I was able, my first production project was a group called Big Mountain. And that was hugely successful. That group was, they had a song out, Peter Frampton remake, Ooh Baby, I Love Your Way. And so I'm on there as a producer, and I made billboards of my first hit
Wow.
out. And so that was nice, but it's touch and go after that of getting projects, and it's still like a ongoing thing to have that production. The whole music business scene has changed,
Yeah.
so you have to be able to be versatile and change with it. And so that's what's going on now. But I'm doing the independent thing now, and we'll see what happens.
Is it kind of scary now stepping out, doing your own thing after being behind the scenes for so long?
Yeah, in a way, I just kind of look at it as I got to do what I got to do,
Yeah, right.
and assess to see what it is I need to do. And I say to my fellow musicians that I work with, I say, thank goodness we learned how to play, because no matter what's going on out there, people want enjoy you being on stage and being able to play your instrument. And
Right.
that's how I got to, I would go to Ghana and stuff. I'm not going to Ghana playing tracks. They want to hear you present a show, do a
Yeah.
show. And that's how we were trained, to be able to perform, play with each other, arrange music, and that. Now they have the other, form of music, which is more computerized there too. But basically, that festival I did, 4 days of you got to be able to play. And so I say, thank goodness for that, because that's always there no matter what over time.
And so, Kevin, you've gotten to really work with some of the biggest names in music as well. Just want to read off three of them and maybe tell us something about working with them that you stood out with. But Stevie Wonder is one of them. And
Yes.
Jennifer, what's that?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah.
Jennifer Hudson, Jamie Foxx, Chaka Khan, these are all people that you've gotten to work with. And can you tell us a little something about working with them? Was it easier?
The most recent one is I was on tour with Chaka Khan 2022, most of the year. And I started with her in 2015. And it's a world, and when you get gigs like that, it's you're somewhat starstruck yourself musically. It's a job. But this is music that I grew up on. And so, you get sent a tape and the music, and you're going through all these hit songs. One of the interesting things about like the Shaka set is that you play for hour 15, almost every song's a hit through the whole though. And so one of the things I enjoy about being on gigs like that with Shaka is that sitting down and hearing them talk about their career, because they're being in the back of the dressing room and they have stories for you. So, because they come up under a time where it's just music, 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 and they have stories about their struggle, about their successes, and that has been the most interesting thing for me. The Stevie Wonder thing was just more of when I first moved to LA, bass player I was working with was working with Stevie. And so he had a penthouse up in LA at the top of off of Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles. And I used to go there and sit and play with him on the piano and be able to talk to him, because I was in that little circle. And that was just sitting down, talking to him, playing songs. He would sit at the piano with me and we would play a couple songs together. And that's I was really young in the business. So, of course, that was a spectacular thing to happen. And and actually, with the Jamie Foxx situation, when it was time for me to move from San Diego and to go for it in LA, him and I were roommates. We came up together.
Wow, you and Jamie were roommates?
Yeah, that's that when
Wow.
before he got the gig in Living Color, we moved to LA together. And that was
Wow.
my first roommate in LA. And so I saw the whole process of the auditioning for in Living Color.
Yeah.
Fox, all that. And I used to go there too and watch him, Jim Carrey, and all that when they were doing all that. And I
Wow.
actually was involved in some of the music that Jimmy would sing. He would do Prince and different things. And we used to do that at the house, some of the tracks. But I did, he was going for a record deal at the time also. He was shopping because he wanted to be singing at the time. And the movie part and that part and the TV part was taken off. And so I was his producer. So I have tape, I got tapes of us doing stuff in the studio and at the beginning phases. But he went to a college, USIU in San Diego, and that's where I met him, San Diego. And then we decided to go to LA and make a name for
Wow.
ourselves.
When you first saw Jamie, did you think, okay, this guy has got the potential to really be a big, huge international star one day?
Yeah, so the people have a certain energy about them. And he was doing the comedy back then, and it was just evident. It's just a matter of time. Well, when I first met him, and then even with the singing, I was very impressed with his singing. Actually, I learned he used to play, and he's more of a gospel player on the piano. And he would watch me because I came from more of a jazz thing, and so he would watch me play, and I would watch him play. We would just hang out musically. just admiring. Oh, you do. We had a two-man little show we used to do, but he would watch what I was doing, and I learned how some of those gospel chords would work. It was excellent, and then of course his singing was impeccable. So
Oh,
it
bless
was
you.
just a nice musical exchange going on.
I just want to say two things that Jamie's done that I thought was just brilliant, besides In Living Color and the game show that he has now called Beat, or I guess he formerly had Beat Shazam. Now he's moved on to other things. But two things that really stand out in my mind as projects that Jamie's done. First one is Ray. He was just incredible portraying Ray Charles. I never saw someone portray Ray like that. And
Yeah,
second,
he oh, go ahead. He had that with Bray. It's just it was destined. He had the gift because he had the musical gift and the gift to be able to impersonate. Yeah,
Oh,
so
by far. I mean, he really had that role down. I mean, he like the mannerisms, everything that
yes,
yes.
he's very good at that.
And secondly, Gold Digger with Kanye West. Gold Digger with Kanye West,
Yeah, that was a
which
big
it turned out to
one.
be a huge, huge hit.
Huge, huge. I was there, witnessed that whole process of going around, trying to get the record deal, being frustrated with the no's at the beginning, and then just getting in there through that whole process is very interesting to watch because we all go through it, and so it was interesting to be around to see how that worked for him.
And I know that I had also mentioned Jennifer Hudson, and Jennifer has got the most powerful voice you could ever imagine. I saw her singing. There was a project that she worked on with Norman Lear and Jimmy Kimmel that she sang the Jeffersons theme song, and I thought to myself, "Holy cow!" And for everything, and for everything that Jennifer's been through with the murder of her mom and sister, I thought to myself, "How do you bounce back from that?" And apparently, she has. Now she's hosting a talk show.
It's incredible to see. Now I played like one major gig with her, and it was on a Sony lot in Culver City out here. And so she was basically hired to do about six songs for a major upscale party situation. And I was the piano player. I was, playing piano. So I learned about five or six of her songs. And what you said about her voice, I tell people, so they set up the monitors near the piano so I can hear her voice when I'm playing behind her. And it was just perfect. The strength of it and coming through the monitors live, every note's perfect. And we played a song called one of them I like playing, Hallelujah. And with her, and it's just amazing working with that level of energy and talent. And so that was a very memorable concert.
I mean, yeah, if someone has not heard Jennifer Hudson's voice, I think to myself, that's how singing should be right there. She should be one that if singing should imitate.
You're correct. Yeah, I agree.
So for the going to those young musicians, what is it about these people? I know you mentioned the energy, but would you say that's the primary thing that made these people what they are today?
Yeah, I firmly believe basically that we all have gifts, and some because I work with a lot of musicians, and when I work with some of the iconic ones like Shaka, and I work with Dionne Warwick, Babyface, there's something special there. Like when we're rehearsing, I can see it when we're rehearsing. I've just mentioned that, like when I was working with Gladys Knight, we used to rehearse in one of her homes in Las Vegas, and she would come down and sit next to the piano, the band set up kind of in one of the living room type situation. And she's singing at half voice, half energy. And it's incredible, almost whispering. And the whisper is like incredible. Phil Perry is another one. They have special gifts. They have what I guess they use in the movie industry, the it factor. And we can use like electronics these days to kind of gloss over that particular thing and present something and it'll sell well. But back in the day, you had to be able to sing the song all the way through. Like when we go into the studio, there was not many tricks you can use. So that type of artist, the Gladys Knights and the Babyfaces, it's actually a privilege, and I'm glad that I got a chance to work with them. When I first started too, at the beginning, I was working with Ronnie Laws. My first vocal gig where I toured for 3 years was Tina Marie, another amazing situation. Sometimes on stage, I would just look around, we're doing Love a Girl, and I said, this is like incredible. Just the sound is incredible because it's real. Tracks
Absolutely.
going, yes, real playing.
Yeah, I can just imagine. I mean, you being I know you're an older gentleman, but you're like a starstruck little kid, I'm sure. Am I
Yeah,
really
because I
with these
was in high
people?
school when that song, when music was out. And then when I came to LA, I'm playing for that. And I still play with like the Pointer Sisters, which is huge internationally.
Yeah.
And there are another one like Shaka, where the set is about 1 hour 15, hit song after hit song. And it's just like, yeah, and we're playing. Everybody's playing for real.
I think that one other thing, because I do stand-up comedy, and I know that I
Okay.
also know the work that I think music and comedy kind of go hand in hand with one another. I'm sure that you would say that all these artists also, they don't have any other hobbies. That's all they do is just work on their craft for what, 12, 13 hours a day, maybe, or maybe longer,
Now,
but
yeah.
and that's all they do every day is just work on their craft every single day.
And it's interesting you say what you do, because I witnessed that when I first moved. So being around Jamie, I'm looking at, and everybody was around, like, and when he was doing Living Color, it was J-Lo, and they'd be at the house, everybody's hanging out, all the comedians hanging out,
Yeah.
and they would at the apartment, it'd be 4 in the morning, they just telling jokes, and it's all day and all night.
Yeah.
Live it. And musicians are really like that too, but I've seen that in comedy too, where they just engulfed in it. And those are the ones who end up being successful later on.
I maybe let me ask you this. Would you also say, because I've been studying, like I said, stand up, and that there's like maybe some past history or trauma that is with these artists that make them who they are today, since they want to have a voice that people hear, since they couldn't find maybe any other way to have their voice heard.
Yeah, some of that I think is just born with a certain type of passion, coupled with their circumstance,
Yeah, okay.
life circumstance, and those things come together to create a unique presentation in their artistry. And I see that when we all have a story,
Oh yeah.
and if it was shapes what we're talking about or how we play, the way I play, I was told like a lot of the vocalists who like to hire me. They like the way they say I'm very sensitive to the way I'm playing the chords, and it just sounds good and pretty and stuff. They love that. And so I get hired to do that. But it comes from my background, because I was kind of the quiet kid in class. So that's how I emote through the music. And so that's how I communicate.
Yeah. And when you and this is one thing I like to always ask artists, what do you hope people take away from, or what's the underlying message you hope people take away from your music?
There's a couple of things, but one major thing, when I write music, compose, or present a show, I want people to feel something emotional. So I'm trying to emote and connect with them. And when they connect, they'll make comments like after the show, when people come up to me and say, I just felt that, and it triggered something in them. But if I'm playing the piano, or if I present a song that it lyrically triggers them to remember something, so they're going away with a certain positive feeling. So I'm trying to evoke positive feelings in people. And that's kind of a message to make people feel good for a while.
Yeah. Okay. So it kind of goes a little back to Gino's love and unity.
Yes,
Yes. Yeah,
exactly.
absolutely. Well, Kevin, I thank you so much for coming on the program. It's been a pleasure to meet you and get to talk to you, sir.
Yeah, I'm glad we reached out, and I'm glad we had a chance to talk.
Absolutely. And I'm probably going to be moving to California this year, so
Oh, okay.
maybe
That's
hook up.
good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways.
Yeah, welcome. All right.
All right, sounds good. Well, thank you, Kevin, for your time. God bless you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thanks.